on in. So this
Blog Talk Radio.
That they're streaming on a different thing.
Oh, okay.
And they take that. Superstars, my phone's about dead. Is there any way I could call in on your phone? My phone's going to cut off. We're down at the Shed Barbecue and Blues Joint. Okay. Okay, let me call in right quick. Folks, give me a minute. We'll be right back. I got to call in on another phone. Good God. Learn how to do ribs on a basic rinse. And how we doing, man? What's your name, buddy?
I'm Meathead. I'm at the Shed. I have heard it's a bucket list place, you know. It's one of the places that you've got to visit if you love barbecue. It's so much more than you ever heard it would be. It's a shed. It's a pile of junk. And yet it's also a museum. And we're going to get to meet some of the food tonight. Brad Orison and his sister and his mother and his father run this place, and it's famous for barbecue, blues, and beer.
Man, I tell you now, beer is the worst. They got a whole refrigerator full. They got drafts. I tell you, I'm glad to see them back in business. And, you know, it's hard to explain. You know, it's like four people doing the best they can meet hell yeah party down the bayou. And, you know, me and Meathead were standing out there a few minutes ago now. We got it on live feed. I know we did, but we were talking about there's not a new window in the place. It's all a bunch of old windows and stuff. And then we looked around, and hell, there's three women carrying windows in the place, wasn't there?
They must hit the junk carts and the every time they see a demolition, because there's a lot of barn wood. It's just been pieced together. It's pickup sticks. And now the place burned down. Do you know how long ago it burned down?
I think about a year, because it's February of last year.
And I don't know how long they were closed. But they're back in business now, and hardly missed the beat. And it just got a flavor. I mean, I eat in a lot of barbecue restaurants. I eat in a lot of restaurants. I travel a lot. I've never, ever seen anything like it.
Now, the floor is stone. It's a small pebble stone.
Pea gravel,
they call it. Look at this stuff. Look at this. Can the camera see it? I'm talking little bitties. And how much do you think it cost to build this joint? Probably
$6.50. It was more labor than it was cost of wood. I think it may have had to buy a nail or two.
Do you think there's one piece of new wood in it?
Yeah, I think they got some. I think they bought a bunch of 2x4s to make sure that they could get something supported. But that's about it.
Well, I tell you what, man, it's been a great day. We went down to that Boulder Lodge and went down and took a part of it. They stuck 100 pounds of onion in this processor, and within 30 seconds, they were diced onions.
No, I missed that. I came here. I didn't take the bus. They gave you a kitchen tour.
Yeah, and then they put in 45 pounds of celery, and within 10 seconds, it was sliced celery.
Sliced nicely.
I mean, professional, better than I could have done it, or anybody could have done it. And then they took us over, and they get, like, whole beef and whole pigs in. I didn't know this. They butcher them, and they prepare them on site. They don't buy any cut meat. Just about everything they got is a whole either cow or pig.
I had no idea.
Man, I was like standing back like, what in the hell? But you know what's so funny? We walk through all these fancy looking people that work there, and fine looking women and young men. We got down to the butcher shop. There's this big 400-pound man down there. Looked like Gus down the street. He was missing three teeth on the front side of his face. And it was like, you know, when it comes down to the bit, you know, you got to have a little grit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the one putting all the meat out. He had William and Young, he had ribeyes. I mean, I was like, you know what? That ain't nothing but a barbecue man back in there.
I thought they were just going to take you guys down to the gambling floor, and I didn't know they were going to give you a good old tour like that. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Well, they also had a refrigerator and a freezer section that was,
if you push that button, we're off the air.
Oh, shit.
That looks like we're okay.
Okay.
they took us down to a refrigerator section that was probably 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. Then they took us over to a freezer that was probably 5,000 square feet. Then they took us back to a food section that was about as big as Lowe's. They said on a good weekday it's 5,000 to 7,000 plates, and on a weekend it's 15,000 plates a day. And you know, that's a And there was this young lady named Mary. We say, hey, Mary. What's up, Mary? How you doing tonight? She was the police of the Beau Rivage. And, you know, when I walked through and I had my camera going, I had to cut it off, you know. And then we had to, and then we were back, and then,
Casino.
And I said, look, I don't want the Don coming down here kicking my ass and putting me in the room. And I'm like, what the hell? So I know you can cheat, you know, all the shit. I cut the stuff off and held it down. But you know what's so funny? We walked all the way through that place, and then we came to the restaurant. It's called Memphis Q. And what was it? It was an old beat-up brick wall, bunch of old wood, looking in the back, whole bunch of things, barbecue, ribs, Boston butts, all that shit was all over the place. And you know what, man, I tell you, we got our corner of the world. It means a lot, you know, when you go in a billion-dollar place. That's a billion-dollar place. The MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay, they're all owned by the same people because they own the Beau Rivage, this MGM Grand company. And, man, I tell you what, it was a hell of a day. But now we come down to the shed. I got too excited when I got in here. I think I scared Brad Orris and all. Because I was like, holy shit, hell yeah, what shit. And so he went up there. But, you know.
He's on his fourth or fifth Newcastle already.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I had a couple with him earlier. Yeah.
Okay. So he probably played pretty good. And I tell you what. You know, it's been a good day. Now, I'll tell you what the best moment of the day was. So I got out of my truck. I come walking up here in the middle of the jet. And here comes this young man with a bright red shirt like mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked and said, Amazing Riz, the Zen of Barbecue. And I said, hey, man. And he said, you're here. You came back. I looked over, man. It's the man. It's not a man. It's the man. It's this dang meathead, man.
Will you talk to my wife?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, barbecue meat is tough. No. Got a lot of people out there got websites, you know, and but you know, I always aspire to be like Amazing Riz because folks, I check the numbers and man, I'm gonna tell you something, G. You laying it down like nobody is.
Last year, AmazingRiz.com had 7 million people visited. Ooh. That's twice as many as went to Yankee Stadium.
Oh,
am I a lucky boy or what? I just took my love for barbecue and started writing about it, write my recipes, tips and techniques, and it turned into a living. I mean, my hobby became my dream job.
Well, I tell you now, the thing about Amazing Riz is, you know, it's not only, you know, the simple stuff that I try to put out to everybody else. He's got physics professors from universities and different people have got involved. I tell you what, you're bringing a whole other informational, you know, put out that a lot of us don't have. Just like the other night, I knew you did a radio show about what's going on, you know, during the stall, during the different parts of the
country.
And, you know, we love you, man, I tell you.
What I like to do is I like to take everything that we've been taught and find out if it's really true. Like, what causes the stall? What makes them, when you're taking a pork shoulder and you're cooking it at 225, it goes up to about 150 and just stops. And people who've never run into it before freak. And it'll stay there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. It's called the stalls. What the heck is going on? So, one of my friends is used to be the head of research at Bell Lab. A physicist. You know, that's where they invented the transistor. And I asked him if he could help me figure this out. And he said he'll take care of it. He went out and did experiments and proved that the stall is just the meat sweating. It's moisture that rises to the surface, and at the surface it evaporates, and when it evaporates, it cools the meat. Just like when a marathon runner is sweating, it cools you off. And that's all it is. It has nothing to do with the fat melting. It has nothing to do with collagen, as we all thought it was. So he answers the questions that we all want to know. And it's fun. It's real. I mean, we just did a piece on, is meat really better by the bone? And what happens? And we had to get into touch with the food scientists. science people and talk to them about the calcium in the bone. Is it for it? Can marrow, which is mostly fat, get out? What happens at the interface between the meat and the bone? Really interesting stuff. And so we try to answer those questions and maybe make some better barbecue in the process.
Hey, Dirty Mike, man.
Hey, Daryl.
Good job.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, man?
What a nice double sign. Let the real barbecue expert dig in.
Man, I tell you what, now we got Dirty Mike and Sweet Baby Ray. Raven came over. And good Lord, we're gonna have to get this camera repositioned a little bit. We got live feed going. And wow, what a wonderful night! I can't believe these fellas just showed up. Y'all have a seat, man. Let's do some radio and talk about some stuff right quick. And we got David Raymond, Danny Mike. Danny Mike's coming down here from Maine. And I tell you what, folks, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of barbecue you're doing or what kind of food you're cooking. Danny Mike has absolutely got the seasoning that you need. I'm talking about fish, chicken, ribs, pork, brisket. It don't matter. Danny Mike has figured it out. How are we doing tonight, man?
Real well, Daryl, man. It's really good to see you, and what a great surprise. Being here at the shed, first time here, you know, in Mississippi. First time with my friend Chad checking it out with my buddy, you know, Dave Raymond, Sweet Baby Ray himself. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Daryl, now, Heather, it's good to see you, buddy, and I'm happy to be here.
Man, it's going to be a hell yeah night now, folks. You know, I knew something magical was going to happen on this trip. I just got live feed television, you know, I've got live radio now. And I knew this was going to be a weekend of just, you know, discovery and a lot of things happening. And today we went down to the Bova Bars and hung out. We went through all their, you know, food departments and all that, where they process food. And, you know, the funny thing that happened to Denny was we went down through all this high dollar, you know, beautiful women, good-looking young men, all these expensive-looking people. But when we got back to where the meat was in the refrigerator, where the meat was processed, it's on this big 4-pound guy, big ass knives. I mean, he's Mr. Sweet Tea right over here on the side, you know.
Good, yeah.
And I said, well, there's people out there might be funding, but Johnny, get down over here. You know.
And he's not too pretty,
but he's kicking ass down in the main room.
I love that story. And you're right. You're going to have all kinds of stories. Next 4 or 5 days, every heavy hitter on the planet is here. And it's a great, you know, great venue, the Renaissance, a beautiful hotel. The awards ceremony Thursday night is going to be fantastic.
Like unbelievable.
There's close to 600 submissions from all over the country and the world. On the, you know, the chops and rubs, anybody got chops, we're going to find out. You know, and this is really where it, you know, the rubber hits the road.
Right, oh, has Denny Mike got some irons in the fire this weekend?
I hope, but I'll tell you what, man, it's a tough game. I actually, you know, I've been fortunate over the past few years, as you know, to, you know, get my share, and generally I'm always second place to the shed, but I'll always take second place in the shed because these guys are the best. I couldn't speak more highly of them. And I'll tell you what, you're in the right place. You're in for a great straight 4 or 5 days. All of your people out there in barbecue land are going to be, you know, it's just going to be a fabulous time. And I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad to be able to spend a couple minutes with you. We're actually heading back to Mobile right now. All right, we're going to be beating the bus because it's going to be,
are you guys on the bus? Or?
Actually, no, we're driving.
Driving, okay.
Yeah. So we're just going to head back, and we'll see you back there.
Well, before you go, Jerry, let's do a little rundown on your products, you know.
Okay,
you do. Just run through them right quick.
I've got 4 sauces and 5 rubs. I've got my original sweet and spicy. I have my Mosquito Madness, which is my put a little mesquite powder in and make it nice and smoky. My Hot Nasty is tricked out with a little bit of habanero. three tomato-based sauces, and then I have one vinegar sauce. In fact, it's just one best of the best, I'm happy to say, at the National Barbecue News contest last month. I won first place in spicy category and second place in mild category for my Carolina. And I have five different rubs from my strongest seller is my chick magnet, which is all things poultry. And then I've got a sublime swine, which is for all things of the pork nature. Cowbell Hell is my slightly spicy red meat rub. And then I've got my wife's favorite is Pixie Duck. And fast becoming my own favorite because it's so, I won actually gold for that at the Southwest evening. It's got a little ancho chili powder in it. It's gorgeous. And then the one that you most favor is my Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's good. Hell yeah.
All things about seafood nature, and actually you can grill all kinds of vegetables with it, everything from portobello mushrooms to summer squash, zucchini.
You can eat that stuff, folks.
And you know what? I love being down here with all of these guys. I so love all of what we're into. Barbecue, comfort food, socializing.
Hell yeah. Cheers. Let's rock and roll. Let's have a good weekend. Man, Fontaine, thanks for coming on now. I want to get Raymond on just for a few minutes. Let's see if Raymond will get on camera with me. Just so we come on over, get on the radio just a little bit. Man, Sweet Baby Ray's now. We have not relented on Sweet Baby Ray's being number one. You know, Raymond got the number one barbecue sauce in the world. And you know, it pisses me off when people talk about the fact that, you know, it's McDonald's red sandwiches. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people making barbecue sauce. There ain't a damn person in the world can touch what old Raymond said with Sweet Baby Ray's. How we doing tonight, man?
This is unbelievable being at the shed. I just, I've known the family for a long time. I've seen lots of pictures and heard lots about it, and it is just sensory overload being here. I can't believe all the good, unique, clever, thoughtful, creative. Brad's a genius. That's what I would say. The boy, I mean, to think of nothing and make it something, he's like better than Seinfeld.
You know what's funny about it? We was laughing on the way in. There's not a new window in the place. But, you know, it's probably 200 feet long, but we were standing there saying that, and at the same time, these three women came by carrying three windows in.
Again, I've seen the inside, I've seen the outside, I've taken the ride around the property, and what a treat.
Well, now let's talk about Sweet Baby Ray's a little bit. I don't know if you've seen the video, but we did a test between you, Dinosaur, Butcher, and somebody else, and I took it and I got a panel of about 10 people together, and everybody there, they ate them all. You know, we got to the end, they said, I like the number two the best. And I was like, Sweet Baby Ray's? And then this guy in the corner over there, he says, you got Sweet Baby Ray's? I said, yeah. He said, I didn't know you had that. Where's the Ray's at? So I put the Sweet Baby Ray's on there. Dude, I'm going to tell you, man, the whole world was sold on Sweet Baby Ray's, and how's it feel? I mean, you know, all these years, so many people loving you, you know, so many people buying your product, and to come up with this flavor profile and this way of life that you've done, how's it feel, man?
It was a life-changing experience, and unbelievably blessed would be the answer to your question, and it's still unbelievably blessed, and it's still unbelievable to me and our whole family and our extended family and community. I mean, it's you know, we're just two guys to west side of Chicago, and to see the popularity go beyond Chicago and beyond our region, knowing how regional barbecue sauces are, just still can't believe it 25 years later.
Man, I'm telling you now, it don't matter what store, what's so crazy is, I go in the smallest store there is, and I say, they ain't got no Sweet Baby Ray's. I look, sure as hell, they got eight bottles. Sweet Baby Ray's over there. I don't think I've been into a store that sells like regular groceries. that it doesn't have it. So, big success there. Well, what do you expect about the National Barbecue Association this weekend? It's going to be a hell of a weekend, isn't it?
This is my chance to come down and renew old friendships and make new friendships and get away from things in Chicago. And I tell you, it's a great hotel. It looks like it's a great city. I drove down here with a couple barbecue guys, and we've already been to Dreamland and Big Bob Gibson's and Pat Martin's and Archibald, and I don't know what it is, what the other name is, but we've had some really good barbecue, and we're looking forward to eating some more real good barbecue and seeing and understanding more of the historical significance of barbecue down in this neck of the woods. And I enjoy being part of the classes and participating in what the National Barbecue Association is trying to do, and their leadership is, I'm pretty good friends with a lot of people out here, and just looking forward to building more relationships and doing what we can all do to help get the word out about barbecue to these, in my mind, the backyard griller and women and younger people and chefs who are into the profession but not into barbecue. I think that's a great opportunity to get really credible people who would both benefit our organization.
Man, I'm telling you now, barbecue competition is a true sport. Now, I did about 12 cooking videos in a row, and, to get that meat to that right consistency to build that bar, it's tough. You know, you got to know what's going on in that meat. You know, you got to know where it's at, how you're doing, and keep the time and temperature. But then on the other hand, you know, you got people that are in restaurants every single day. They get up. They know they're going to cook 400 or 500 Boston butts. They know they're going to cook 500 briskets. They know they're going to cook, 300 cases of ribs. Man, those people, man, they work. Them fellas are laying work down, aren't they?
Well, I've cooked in 26 KCBS competitions. I've cooked in 2 of Memphis, and I own 2 barbecue restaurants. And I think it's all good and hard to say that one's harder than the other, one's better than the other. I love them both, and I love the people in both of them. And the only thing I'll say is if you're in a restaurant, you're judged every day. If you're a competition cook, you're only getting judged once a week.
That's right. You know something else, if the consistency goes down, like Tom Houston was telling me one day, he stays so focused on consistency that if his purveyor sends in a different french fry or sends in a different kind of rib or sends in, he's right on them. He says, no way. You know, we go back, we change our rib, 5 degrees, people will quit. And so it's a hard job to keep the restaurant open, isn't it?
Tommy Houston not only has the single best name in barbecue, but he also knows what he's talking about, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, I'm so excited about this weekend. I don't know what to do. I'm down here in the shed. And, it's a blessing for you to come by and for me to get to see you, Ray. And, I tell you, I'm just an old hard-working Joe like you. I'm going to try to make it the same way you did. I don't think I'll ever make it as big as you have, but, it's a blessing to see somebody in barbecue who has, because it gives you hope, And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who need hope tonight. And if you give them some hope out there, just say a few words about what it took to make it so successful.
Yeah, I ain't nothing. Famous Dave is a $500 million brand, and to see one guy start something that guy got that, that is a ton more than Sweet Baby Ray's. Not that we haven't had our own share of success, but same thing with Famous Dave. He started with not much, I know that, and as we talked before, I started Sweet Baby Ray's with $2,000, barely a high school education and a dream, and y'all got some kind of idea where we wound up, and I'm living proof that it can be done, and I spend a chunk of time offering other people encouragement that they can do it too. And you know, it starts with you have to have passion, and then you have to have commitment, and you have to be willing to do the work, and you got to be lucky, and you got to have faith, and a lot of things have to come together. But I'm living proof that it can happen. That's for sure.
Well, man, you heard some powerful words right there, Raymond from Sweet Baby Ray. You're in Chicago out there. Do you have a place you're located at?
We've got two places. We've got a restaurant in Wooddale called Sweet Baby Ray's, and that's at 249 East Irving in Wooddale. And right next to that, we've got two catering companies, Sweet Baby Ray's and True Cuisine. And then we have a larger 200-seat restaurant in Elk Grove, Illinois.
Man, I tell you, wow. And somebody wanted to get a hold of you, just send you an email now. Email's the best way. Start off with email. He's a busy man, big time, rack time, you know. Send him an email. How can somebody email you?
Raymond294@AOL.com, RAYMOND294@AOL.com. And what I've been telling people for a lot of years is you'll stop asking questions before I stop trying to give answers to them.
Man, you heard that right there, Will. Man, thanks a lot for coming by, Ray. And, you know, it's an honor. Now, just so everybody knows, Barbecue Superstar has the top 100 barbecue sauces in the world, and we've got 229 on there, but there's only one sauce at the top. You know which one it is?
I'm guessing Sweet Baby Ray's.
That's right. Hell yeah, Sweet Baby Ray's. You did good, old boys in Chicago, and I'm really proud to know you and proud to be friends with you and everything. And folks, if you want to call in now, the number is 347-202-0263. Now, we're supposed to have Lulu's Barbecue and my man Mark West calling in. If you guys want to call in and say a few words to Sweet Baby Ray, now is the time. We sure would appreciate it if you call. And Ray, where do you see barbecue going in 10 years?
Let me just give my definition of barbecue, which is what you know from who you learned it from where they came from, to cooking with fire and wood, heat and wood, to being with your friends, enjoying yourselves, to wherever you want to take it, which is to say that I think I have the most broadest definition of barbecue. And where I think barbecue will be is it's going to continue to evolve. More and more people are going to start enjoying it and making it part of the regular meals that they prepare. And I don't know where it'll be in 10 years, but I know most of the people that I know who love and care about barbecue are working hard to perpetuate barbecue so future generations can learn to love it as much as we do, and we're working to try to get more information and preserve some of the historical stuff so people can eventually come and get the appreciation for it that we have. Well, for me, it's all about the people and their story, and then their places and their food had more significance, but I'm all about people and their story.
Man, I tell you, you know, barbecue brings families together. You know, people go out in competition to compete together. People get a restaurant. They work together. And something about just eating barbecue changes lives. And it's a good thing in our culture.
Comfort food, warm food, being around family and friends. I mean, it's got most of what means something to be there. And, you know, church social, birthday parties, graduations, weddings. I mean, there's no excuse that isn't good to have a barbecue.
Now, you know, if you got problems in your life, you're addicted to drugs, you fool around your wife, you know, 50 things that are wrong, you can't get a hold of yourself. Ray, if they went out and got a big grill, put it in the backyard, and on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night when all the trouble happens, they got a big old rack of ribs and Boston busters of brisket, and they start working with them to try to figure out how to cook them low and slow, hot and fast, put the rub on, take the rub off, put the Sweet Baby Ray's on. Next thing you know, you start working with that meat, it'll keep you busy,
It'll be good at the end. It'll change your life on it.
I say, let's get my friends Heath Hill and Brett Thompson with Pork Barrel Barbecue out of Alexandria, Virginia, who both were staffers for the United States Senate. Let's have those boys have some barbecue for those government guys, and let's do some things together and get this country on a course that it needs to be on.
You're damn right. Now, I'll tell you, somebody with a big plate of barbecue in front of him, if he starts eating it, he ain't going to be able to be mad. He ain't going to be able to fight no more. Hey, he's going to start talking sense for a few minutes. You know, if we could get more barbecues going in communities, we could change the country around, couldn't we?
Amen, brother.
I'm preaching to the choir over here with Sweet Baby Ray's. And I'll tell you what, it's just a blessed night to be here. And they're getting ready to crack up the music over here and everything. And I don't know what happened to my my buddies over there. Make sure we're on the line still. Make sure I'm still called in. I had screwed up.
Oh, yeah? Looks like it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to need it back eventually. I've got to call my wife tonight.
Okay, yeah, well, we've got about 23 more minutes, and what was I going to say? What else?
So have you ever been here before?
Yeah, I've been here one time before, but the only problem was it was burnt down.
That's a whole other story that a lot of people know about. We're going to hear more about at the convention. But to me, this whole family just warms my heart, and I'm honored to, along with Amy and Mike Mills, the Mills family and 17th Street Barbecue and the Orisons and all the Jetheads. I mean, to be able to call these people among my best friends in barbecue, there ain't too many things that could be better in barbecue than that for me.
Boy, now, Mike Mills, you know, he's got all the restaurants in Las Vegas. He's got all the restaurants in Illinois. He's won all these championships and everything. Plus, he's got this service where he can go in and straighten out a restaurant that's not doing too well. Boy, Mike Mills gets a big-time icon there.
Well, not to take anything away from my buddy Mike, but his daughter Amy is... they wrote Peace, Love, and Barbecue, and that is literally what changed my barbecue world. And I wrote Mike a letter to thank him and introduce myself. And as it turns out, Mike is still using snail mail. So my email was to Amy, and that's what really began my friendship with Mike. Was Amy being the intermediary, and then in the process of that, I came to know Amy, and I love her. I mean, she is absolutely on point with barbecue and the barbecue community, and she's a really, really bright woman, and she knows a ton about barbecue and how to help grow businesses and how to help people, and Mike knows a lot about barbecuing and helping people and encouraging people and sharing what he knows, and he's as humble as anybody I know in barbecue, and I just can't say enough about the Bills and how they've introduced me. I mean, one of the biggest thrills I've had 2 years ago, I got to walk around the American Royal Invitational. I'd say at least 2 hours, probably closer to 2.5 hours, with just Mike. Me and Mike and me walking down every aisle, and everybody I didn't know in barbecue I got introduced to, and there must have been 50 times that I heard, "Mike, can we get a picture of you? Mike, can we get a picture of you?" And invariably, Mike would say, "Hey, this is Dave Lehman. Don't you know him? Come on, Dave, get in this picture too." And whether it would have been me or whoever else he is with, that's the kind of guy he is. He loves barbecue, and he tries to get other people to love barbecue too. And I'd say he's my mentor when it comes to that. And I think a lot of people are like that in barbecue. Is they love it so much that they want to share their love and passion with other people and get them more involved so they can love it too.
Man, I tell you, that's the truth. And, you know, he works hard at it. You know, he goes to a lot of these functions that help promote barbecue. You know, he's not immune to coming to the National Barbecue Association just to, you know, put the extra power to it. He works hard at the backbone of it, doesn't he?
Well, from my perspective, for him to come down here and bring so many of his team to and harvest a reward for him, it's margin for education for him. But he's got a lot of management down here, and as he does with lots of events that he attends, and I think that's just one more way he gives the barbecue by everyone sees the effort that he makes, and a lot of people like myself try to emulate him because he is such a great guy.
That's right, man. I tell you, there's a few good icons. I mean, people that have brought it so far by giving back so much. You know, Dave, you're one of them. Mike Mills, I mean, Chris Lilly. I mean, there's a whole lot of them that give back. And, you know, Byron Mixon, I mean, he's really the face of barbecue and the name. And, you know, could you say a few words about Byron, you know, being such a big personality now?
I can't lie. My experience, I've had three experiences with Byron. He didn't have too much time for me the first time. He didn't have too much time for me the second time. I duped down 500 to take his competition class. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. And that's the honest truth. And the honest truth is also I've taken 5 competition classes, and I wouldn't put anybody up any higher than Myron. I thought he was extremely forthcoming. He had all of his products up on the table where you could see everything that he used. He told you, he gave you recipes and directions. He took cotton fast, which everybody in the business cooks slow and slow. And you can cook low and slow and hot and fast. In my book, you get extra points for that. And I also know he was up drinking with the young bucks. My nephew left at 2:45 in the morning. And he was there at 6:00. He didn't have a giant smile on his face, but he was there at 6:00. And I would say the deal with Myron is like everybody else in barbecue. If you really get to know the guy, he's a good guy and he's a caring guy and he'll help you out. And what you see on TV is what I like to tell people: it's only TV. And if Myron's got time to talk to you, then like anybody else in barbecue, he would be a great guy. I'm pretty darn sure.
Yeah, you know, he got me started. I went down and did his barbecue memory class, and he did it just to help me out. I'll never forget it. And I wasn't going to go this year, but I went and shot a thing called Big Papa's Battle of Barbecue Junctions in the FDA. And, but, you know, Myron Mixon has helped a lot of people with his classes and everything get into barbecue, competition, restaurants, everything. He did have franchises for a long time. And Myron's been brought us a long ways with big personality on television, but he's also brought us a long ways with all the help that he's done teaching people in these big classes and everything. So, you know, I love Myron to death. And I tell you what, it's going to be a fun ride, man.
I'll just say for Myron, JackSoulSouth.com. If it's in barbecue, that's where you can get it. That's JackSoulSouth.com.
You can get cookers, rugs, sauces. It don't matter. He's got every kind of merchandise and barbecue that there is. And, I don't know. I know Pete has wants his phone back, so we're going to go ahead and give his phone back. You want to say any last words?
Just great to be out here in part of the barbecue, and I hope more people will come out and see what we're about. And I'm sure once they get to smelling, eating, tasting, and talking barbecue, it'd be a big part of their life as well.
That's right. Well, this is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars coming to you live from the shed down here in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. We're going to get Meathead his phone back. And I don't know why I didn't charge the batteries enough. I ain't got the batteries in my phone.
I got to call my wife.
Okay. And I hope y'all have a great night. This is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars. We are out.
I'm going to call around 6:30. Well, folks, I got a little bit of charge left in my own phone, so we're gonna try to broadcast till it quits. I want you to hear, they're getting ready to play some big time music up here at the shed, and I want to broadcast the music. They're getting ready to rock the house. We're gonna try to see if they'll do a few hell yeahs during the process of the show, and they got a flute player. We have a flute player at the shed. How you doing, man?
You're Gerald, man.
Yeah. So you're the web guy for...
Yeah, all the social media stuff.
Okay.
If you give me my card, we can connect with you. More like
50
million.
Okay, thanks, man. I'll send you an email so you have my email.
Yeah.
Looking good over here.
It'll work out.
They are getting ready to rock the house at the shed. Barbecue and blues joint. I'm taping the whole thing. We'll broadcast as soon as we get back to the room, which will be probably in an hour and a half. There's just not enough signal out here. There's no internet, and the signal on my T-Mobile is not strong enough to actually broadcast. We're just going to hang out. We're going to shoot a little more video, and I guess they're going to go ahead and pump up the music, and we'll broadcast that live. You guys kind of get an idea of what goes on in the shed. I hope Lulu's calling in soon. He's going to work the board for me. I'm not sure where he's at, but... Here we go. It might get a little wild here in the chair. It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. I hope y'all can hear it. That's a waiter. Oh,
Yeah. Sounds
good.
Can you turn around? I think you guys were here last time. The opening sound. All right, let's see if Aaron's going to get the guitar. Aaron's going to sound tonight, y'all, so we're putting your hands together for him. If you like the sound, it's too soft. If you don't, it's too soft. Buy them over here, we sound better. I'm going to go Van Morrison for you, just keep a little money. Can y'all hear all right over here? Is our barmaid's name, who's back there with you? Daniela? And Casey? Lacey. Oh, yeah. Y'all take care of your bartenders, your service. You should have them here. All right.
Well, my battery probably cut off too.
You can't stop us. All the ways we're free to run. You can't keep us. Oh, God, I'm against you. Thank you.
Oh, man. Thank you. that way. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm